Hey everyone, it's Malls. Welcome to episode 59 of Please Advise. Christina Lopez, what's going on, girl?
Nothing much since the last hour and a half you asked me, but I guess it's been a week since the listeners, so maybe I'll make something up. I saw a unicorn yesterday.
Shut up. The entire family is evacuated for the summer. Bee's walking dogs for Labor Day. Jackson's getting his life somewhere, probably like at the Tao Las Vegas pool, like fucking like getting his dick sucked by nine different guys. No, Chrissy isn't. Seriously, Chrissy has disrespected me for the last goddamn time. She got out of pocket on an email exchange this weekend, and I told her not only is she fired from the podcast, but I hope she never comes back from New York. She's living there right now doing social media for someone.
Yes. So we miss all our lovely mini babies that we have on our podcast.
You miss them? I feel relieved.
I miss like having a punching bag.
I do have to tell you I miss Chrissy. And I miss Jackson. B, I see her more frequently. But Jackson, I feel, has been far away from me lately. And I'd like him to come home to me, please.
Come home to us, Jackson.
Chrissy was very cute. She offered to watch Wags when she gets back. Like, as if she thinks that's our only, like, the only tenet of our relationship is that sometimes she stays with Wags. It made me actually feel sad. Chrissy, if you're listening to this, she doesn't listen to this podcast, by the way. She doesn't know she works here. She doesn't even know there's a podcast. She just thinks I'm a fucking crazy lady who talks into a microphone 4 hours every two weeks.
What does that make me?
I'm a serious enabler.
Accurate.
I know. No, actually, you're not an enabler. You'd be the first. I did realize, though, you have a terrifying video of me. When did you send me that video? Again, recently. Christina has a video of me from a lost night.
I dug that up because we talked about it on a mini episode that I'm never getting around to releasing at some point.
Am I singing Sloppy Peasant Tits? Is that what I'm singing?
No, you're saying like my mouth tastes like cupcakes. My mouth tastes
no,
like cupcakes.
My
or pizza or something like that.
I don't know. I was Christina brings out my musical side. So this is all very exciting. You guys, we have a cool guest today. I just met him very recently. His name's Ryan Hunter. He's a musician. Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm pretty good. What'd you do this weekend?
It's not over yet. Oh yeah, I guess we're filming. Right.
But it is kind of over.
Yeah.
Saturday night, the weekend's basically over.
Well then that sucks because I haven't done anything exciting yet.
Oh, you haven't?
No, I mean, I watched a documentary last night and ate ramen. That's not exciting.
The most exciting night of I've ever heard of.
That's like cool now, right?
Yeah.
Do you want to know
what
my plan
eating
is?
Netflix and watching and whatever that hashtag was.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
It was like code for
that's.
I love
up.
That people think they figured out Netflix and chill. By the way, fuck you. Every loser has been inviting girls over to watch movies and feeling their tits since they were VHSs. You guys suck. All right, I'm so tired of people thinking they're original. Fuck off. We all lost our virginities because someone's mom let us shut the door, okay?
Fuck off. True.
Dude, anyway, sorry. That was really unreasonably angry. But this is what's it's seeing. All right, I went out last night. I tied one on as I do usually on Fridays. I was a woman of the world last night. I ran into a lot of people. I really, as my mom and I say, I went to America last night.
That's what's
like,
up.
I just got my freedom. Yeah. And it was really great.
That's what's up. Sometimes you have to do that.
But tonight, this is my plan. I'm going to get my book. I've been reading So You've Been Publicly Shamed by John Ronson.
Okay.
Are you familiar with his work?
I'm not.
I don't know you well, but I think that you would like his work. He's very smart and cool and funny. And his writing is like...
Is he a comedian or just a writer?
He's like a... he writes... nonfiction, specifically like sociocultural, like specific things. So he wrote about like The Psychopath Test was a book he wrote, which
okay.
He really investigated like psychopaths.
Yes. I remember reading about that book. I never read it, but I know
it was
I'm
a segment on This
book.
American Life too.
Okay, maybe I know it from there too.
Yeah, he has this like romantic, creepy British voice. Yeah, his new book, So You've Been Publicly Shamed. Do you remember that girl, Justine Seiko or whatever, the girl that tweeted, like,
yes.
Going to Africa?
Okay, so I read an article. I don't know why I've read so much about this dude's books, but actually haven't bought one yet. But yes, and
right.
It's the whole, I read the story you know, everything post that whole incident and everything. And it's awful. Like, it's absolutely awful.
I must have been sleeping when that happened. I remember hearing rumblings of it after, but I must have been sleeping when that whole thing happened. It's this girl's life is a fucking disaster. Yeah. And when I think about the things that I say, like, oh, I wrote you an inappropriate joke in an email today. And as I was sending it, I said to Christina, I started laughing and I was like, I just sent an email that could ruin my life.
Right.
And like that is something that I do all the time without thinking.
Now, totally.
Granted, I think that because I have a little bit of an audience, she had no audience, she had 170 people. Because I have a little bit of an audience, I feel like people also give me a break. I feel like people who are supposed to be talking in public or think they should, and people listen to them. Say things knowing that they're going to get the benefit of the doubt a little bit.
Well,
or,
plus the fact that like your style and what you put out there is kind of like of the vibe that you're not this PC person. You know what I mean? Like you're not a public figure that's a politician or something like that that's constantly has to monitor themselves. You know what I mean?
I mean, what she said was really appalling, but at the same time, it brings up the question of like, just because you're a private citizen and like you have 170, I mean, she did have a job at a very public company in media. That was stupid.
Right.
But for someone in media, she did not have a particularly prolific online presence.
No.
And I think it really raises a question, like, who has the right to like make jokes or to say things? And that's actually started to really bother me the more I thought about it. Cause I was like, oh, everyone just decided she doesn't have the right to make this joke. It's more than the fact that she made it. It's right. that she, it's like, who are you to make this joke? Right. As if, so that means that I guess there's some allowances.
You know, for me, it's like, I think in these situations, you have, I don't know why no one pays attention to the idea of like, was the joke funny or not?
Right,
cause
right.
like, cause to me, when I read it, like when the whole thing first happened, I was just like, well, that's not a funny joke. That's just stupid. Like, that's just, no one's laughing at that joke. It's
right.
poorly executed and it's just bad. You know
it's
what I mean?
It's garish.
Yeah. yeah. And it's not even like laughing at it for shock value or whatever. Like, it's just a dumb joke.
Right.
So
it's just like, ha ha ha, white privilege. Yeah.
And it's just like, yeah, you know what I mean? Like, and I've seen comedians do things that mock white privilege or whatever, and they're talented. They're talented comedians. Like, no one ever assesses that element of it. It's just like, can we put you on the cross or can we not put you on the cross? You know what
I mean?
Right,
right,
right. Which is weird, you know? It's a weird thing.
Yeah, I think, like, we do have, like, unofficial, like, people elected to say things that no one else is supposed to say and everyone else is supposed to shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Which is that, I mean, that is, I don't know, that's something about that seems wrong to me.
Totally.
But it's probably not.
It's weird. It's the type of thing, there's no written rules on it. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
It's where you draw those lines is really difficult. You know what I mean? It's really difficult to figure out where you draw them. You know?
I feel like no one wants to hear my opinion on politics. And I guess what I can gather from this is that no one felt that they needed to hear Justine's thoughts on white privilege.
Exactly.
right.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
I think that's my takeaway. But I mean, I was horrified for the girl because I was unaware, and to just like come into it from this perspective where I didn't know. I also listened to Monica Lewinsky's TED Talk. Did you hear that?
No, I haven't.
Dude.
But that was covered in this article. So I think it must have been an article that was like kind of just going over all that stuff. And now the Ashley Madison thing is very similar too, because like all these dudes who at one time put in their email to this database, maybe never even looked at anything or did anything.
Did you, I knew a lot of people.
So did friends of mine.
Yeah.
You know? But really, what do you know though? You know what I mean? Like, what did anybody know?
I mean, all I can say is I've signed up for so many stupid things on the internet over the years. And like a lot of people, it was like their email address from years ago. Like, I'm like, she doesn't even use that email address anymore. And also that's like her real name. So like, obviously she's not out here trying to hide.
Right.
So yeah, I don't know. I just, one thing that Monica Lewinsky said in her thing, where she was just coming out and she was like, I was one of the first instances of someone who was publicly shamed online. And this is really like her story was the first like thing that was like a viral shaming.
Right.
And one thing she said is that, for some reason she was shocked when she heard it, but she said that, someone said that shame and humiliation is a more strongly felt emotion than happiness or sadness. And I went to that, I thought about it, and I was like, you're absolutely right, because happiness and sadness is a very fleeting But shame is something that's so embroiled in a person, and like you can it's very hard to forgive yourself when you fucked up.
Totally.
Were you raised religious at all?
Oh my God, yes.
What world?
I went to a private Catholic high school. I was raised Catholic. Roman Catholic. Yeah.
We're in a room. Where are you from?
We're both from New York.
We
had a little bonding moment.
Although I'm Long Island, I shouldn't say New York. I am specifically from Long Island. It's important to make that distinction.
What part of Long Island?
So, yeah, you're supposed to. You can't. See, I could get in trouble for just saying New York if I'm from Long Island. You're not allowed to do that.
Oh yeah, she calls me out because I'm from a suburb 20 minutes from Boston, but I shorthand it because I don't think anyone cares.
I knew somebody from Framingham and she used to say I'm from Boston. Yeah. And she would get shit for it.
Yeah.
I've had people who say they're from New York and I'm like, oh, I'm from New York. What part of New York are you from? And they go, oh, well, actually, I'm from New Jersey. And I'm just like, don't do that.
I mean, it's really like with New York, I get it because culturally it's like the greater state of New York, like upstate New York, might as well be a different country from the five boroughs.
Absolutely.
And then Long Island, same thing. It's like the differences between those three places are so much greater than even a ton of places that are right next to one another and are larger within the United States, like dead center of it. You know?
I will tell you though, Poughkeepsie can shut it down.
Poughkeepsie's all right.
They fucking know how to party. Yeah. I had a cousin come stay with the fam for a summer. That was a lost summer. I'll tell you, I picked up and moved to Los Angeles 2 months into that summer.
New Yorkers, man.
We had guys buying us lobster like every night. And I was like, Stephanie, how are you doing this? And she's like, I'm like, there's like good family friends. Like I grew up with my whole life. All of a sudden these guys are taking us out to lobster dinners. And I'm like, what? Like Poughkeepsie knows what's up. So anyway.
Shout out to Poughkeepsie randomly.
So you were raised Catholic. This was my experience with this, and it's a very recent, because we know all the basics.
Sure.
Guilt, shame,
yep.
No sex, yep. Your body's a bad place. Got it. One recent realization I had about Catholicism was that when people my whole life would say God, I would get freaked out. Like I was afraid. Like I was like, he's looking at me and he's mad. Like,
oh, really?
When I would hear the word God, it always had a very negative association for me.
Interesting.
And it changed because I was watching Beyonce's terrible documentary. God bless her, but it's no good. And when she was looking at the waterfall with Jay-Z and she said, that's God. And I was like, who looks at a waterfall and thinks of God? And then I was like, oh, Molly, God made nature. Like, what? Like, he's not at what? And then I had this whole moment where I was like, why did I grow up thinking this thing that's like this resource that's always been there for me is a terrible thing?
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't necessarily grow up the same way thinking that like God was the problem. It was always I was the problem and like what I was doing was bad. Or
I was the problem.
Gotcha.
I never looked at God as like kind of like a... He was always very benevolent for me, or she, or it right. was, but always a benevolent thing. Not that I believe in it anymore, because I'm kind of an atheist. But yeah,
right. Yeah, I definitely grew up heavy on the moral end of things. Like there, I think the God that I was introduced to, like when I was younger and in high school, was forgiving, but
very judgmental.
Not even judgmental. Like it was more the fact that, like, yeah, he's forgiving because we're all fucking up.
Yeah,
all the
no,
time.
I know.
Like it was like, it was like the reminder of like you need to believe in this and you need to be a part of this because we're all always fucking up. So the only thing you could do to fix that is constantly be serving this deity. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's just like that. That was the way I grew up on it. But everything. See, what was interesting? What I have this theory that like. Because to be honest, I rejected it and then I bought way into it as far as Catholicism is concerned. I was a super lost teenage kid, you know, hated my school. I hated everything and had a brother at the school kind of like bring me under his wing and like saw that I was like a smart kid. So I like straight up drank the Kool-Aid. But the thing that's interesting is that if you're in like a fragile state, and this goes for Scientology, this goes for anything. If you're in a fragile state, if you can give somebody something that has this set of answers and guidelines for those feelings to like feed that irrationality, that's going to provide them with comfort. And you could call it whatever you want. You know what I mean?
I mean, but that's why it was invented, so that people didn't kill themselves.
Right. So you didn't feel so lost. You
there
know?
Was a point.
Yeah. So, but it's just so interesting how different religions and different denominations will, of religion will play into different fears based on what they are. When, and what's really fucked up is that it's the people doing them and not even the actual scripture or text in the first place. You know what I mean? Like these denominations of Catholicism that are so focused on homosexuality or all this other shit. And it's like, if you're to really know what you're talking about, no one gives a shit. You know what I mean? There's so many other things to worry about within the context of that religion.
Our new Pope's supposed to be kind of chill, right?
Yeah. That's, no, he totally
is.
Yeah,
that's the idea.
Yeah.
He just put out a whole doctrine about the environment, which to me was something I was like kind of asking myself forever, was it's just like, why are we focusing on what gay people are doing in their bedroom when the earth is just not going to fucking be here?
Yeah. I went to Boston College, which is a Jesuit university, and the Jesuits are very like left-leaning for that world.
Right.
One of my professors was actually called the porn priest because he was a priest that lobbied for pornography to be considered a legitimate form of filmmaking. And he wanted to teach it. He is also a mean man. When I was in college, I remember waking up one morning getting a call from my mom saying, I don't want you going to school today. And I was like, okay, why? She was like, I'm afraid you're going to get hurt. Like the archdiocese is stepping down, like the cardinal is stepping down. And I went to school feet away from St. John's Seminary, which was a place that housed a lot of the priests that were accused of these awful things.
Oh, wow.
Boston College in turn bought the seminary because the church was in such debt.
Right.
So a lot of people, I worked in fundraising for the school. A lot of people stopped supporting the school around that time because the messages were totally crossed. Like, while we were all taught to be, you know, God-fearing Christians or whatever, I think that a lot of people couldn't reconcile the fact that this, like, educational place that so many people have given money to for so long and has this amazing, like, history of sports and, like, community and family and I'm a legacy. Like, I had a really hard time reconciling our school getting the Catholic Church out of debt for a bunch of like pedophile priests. That really bummed me out.
Yeah.
And that's when I started to have a more healthy attitude about moving away from
because
I think I felt a lot of guilt and like definitely after my grandparents passed away, I didn't feel the need to keep up the act as much.
Sure.
And yeah, I don't know.
For me, and I just realized that we both went to Catholic colleges, Molly.
Where did you go?
I went to St. John's University.
Oh, that's right. You told me that.
Yeah. I had a completely different experience with my Catholicism because I was always all in. And when I was in college, I actually like tried to adhere even harder. Like I went to church almost every Sunday. I fasted for Ash Wednesday and on Fridays after for Lent.
I think actually
like
even when we met, you were still...
I was still kind of hardcore about it. And then at some point in my mid-20s, I realized that the reason why I was doing it... I had gone my whole life never feeling that people feel that God is with them.
Right.
And acknowledging that, like, that warmth or whatever that keeps people into religion, like, or the hearing his or her voice or, and I had gone it all in because I was searching so hard. Maybe if I devote myself.
You were hoping it would click.
Yeah. I would hope it would click or something would stick for me.
It's like meditating when you're like sitting there wondering the whole time you're meditating when the meditating's going to start.
Yeah.
And so you can't, like, I get it. I get it.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I thought I was just going through a dark night of the soul when I was starting to have a doubt about whether or not God existed. And then I remembered I was listening to This American Life in the car, and it was a comedian. I can't remember her name, but she used to be in SNL. And she was talking about how her brother got diagnosed with cancer, and then 2 months later she got diagnosed.
Julia Sweeney?
Sweeney, okay, that's who it was. And she was talking about how she started devoting herself again to Catholicism and was taking Bible classes, and she's like, none of this shit makes any sense.
Right.
Like, nothing in the Old Testament
makes
sense.
When I was a kid, I would just turn my wheels in the mud all day long, like, about I'd be like, but wait, so why do they baptize babies? Because they're sinners. Like, but they didn't do anything. Like, I'd just right. be like, but they're brand new. Like, they literally haven't done anything. Like, right. what? They didn't steal or something. I couldn't have wrapped my head around the concept of it.
Yeah. And so for me, I was like, okay, at that point, I was like, well, maybe I'm not Catholic, but I still kind of might believe in God. And then I just had that realization where it's just like, I'm never going to feel it. It's never going to happen. And I actually felt better knowing that, like, this is the only life that we have, so I have to live it to the fullest extent. And I'm good enough for myself. I have to be good enough for myself, not to please anybody else.
Right.
And that gave me more a sense of peace than ever having, than I ever did when I had religion in my life.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That makes, I
sorry,
mean,
Christina,
that makes
thank you no, for no. sharing that.
Yeah, that was, I
and
think,
also, I'm sad that I was your friend when you were having this like religious crisis and you never vocalized. This is why I said this on the last podcast. I've been saying this for years. Yeah. She'd drive herself to her own abortion, listen to This American Life in the parking lot, and not tell anyone about it. She wouldn't tell a fucking person. None of us would ever know.
Yeah, but
she
I mean,
could be
like,
alone in pain for days.
I'm totally okay
know,
with
dying.
People believing in any a higher power if they want to.
Yeah.
Because I'm actually maybe kind of jealous that they have that experience, that sure. closeness. But sure. it's never happened for me, and I've accepted that it's probably never gonna happen for me.
Right.
And so atheism is what works for me.
Right.
So, you know, that's it.
No, I'm like kinda Buddhist. Anyway,
this got really heavy.
Super heavy.
I know. We got really, I mean, we've never discussed religion on this pod. I think we're always an ever evolving machine here.
I like that.
Did you bring three reasons why you are qualified to give advice on
yeah,
the show?
Yeah.
All right. Why don't you give them to me?
All right. So, first and foremost, I've spent countless hours up late at night reading Wikipedia articles. So, I am a wealth of unverified knowledge, which is
what is your hole usually? Like, where do you start
on Wikipedia? It's sort of random. It's, I mean, you like you're watching something and you're like, what the hell is that? Like, what does that mean? And you're like, oh, okay, this is some random plant from South America that we don't have here, and these bugs need it to survive. Let me click on this bug, and then from there, you know, then you're just gone, right?
Yeah.
So I would say that's first. Second, I have survived looking into the eyes of a mountain lion. So I feel like that in some way, shape, or form validates me being here, right?
Yeah. More info, please.
I mean, I did nothing that I'm supposed to survive that encounter, but I did come home and read Wikipedia articles on what I should do next time. So there you go.
I think that's really good.
First trip to California. I was looking for a surf spot, and I just went into was going through Big Sur, and was by myself and was just walking back, and then there was just a mountain
lion. That's fucking terrifying. Yeah.
Can I just, were you one of those Long Island surfer kids?
I don't know. What does that mean? I'm not a piece of shit, so probably not.
So probably not.
No,
yeah.
Probably not.
What part of Long Island are you from?
I'm originally from Merrick, but I lived in Long Beach for the past like 3 years.
Okay, what's
Long Island?
What's number three?
Long Island.
Yeah. Number three. Well, excuse me. I'm a musician and an artist, so I have years of emotional instability and financial instability and all the things that come with being an artist and a musician, right? So
did Brad tell you my song title idea for you?
No.
He sent me one of your songs and it didn't have a title yet. And
oh,
he
really?
Said, what do you think it should be called? And I said, well, it sounds like a song that you'd put over people having sex in a movie. So I said he should just call it Movie Sex so people know how to find it.
That's really
and he said he'll probably want to call it something deeper than that. And I said, I said, you asked me what I think, and that's what I think.
No,
so,
I actually like that. I wish
he didn't
told
tell
me
you
that.
That? No, yeah, he's fucked up. I've been telling him he's really fucked up lately. That's, yeah, wow. Okay. Oh, okay. So I have three questions for you.
Cool.
One, what's the most embarrassing thing you're willing to admit you enjoy?
That I'm willing to admit I enjoy. Shit. The most embarrassing.
Anything I talk about is pretty embarrassing.
Yeah. I'm trying to think, like, what's a terrible guilty pleasure? I'm just thinking of, like, food things right now, but that's not that interesting, you know?
Yeah. Do you like that, like, cheese that you have to microwave and pour out of styrofoam? Like, that kind of shit?
No, that sounds terrible.
Yeah.
It just sounds like cancer.
Fake cheese and stuff. Yep. I don't like... Christina and I were... This is where food stops, so you don't even want to... We were both raised, like, whole milk, real butter. You only have margarine if you're poor and crazy.
So you don't like you don't even like, you know, on a dark Saturday night, like wasted, you're still just coming home and giving yourself like a fantastic vegan
surprise.
Oh, I'll
bagel bite it the fuck up.
Oh,
like,
okay.
But I'm just saying, when I walk into someone's house and I see a tub of margarine, I have to admit I am privately horrified.
No.
If they have like a tub of country crock sitting on the counter.
There's
terrible.
Always going to be crumbs in the fucking country crock.
No,
because they
awful.
Do the toast and the crumbs. There's always crumbs in the country crock. Are you kidding me?
No.
There's always crumbs. That's my... You guys, fucking put that on a t-shirt. There you go. Sell it to America.
That shit is actually plastic. Like, it's one element away from plastic on the periodic
table.
It's
so bad. It's chemicals.
Yeah. If you put it in the woods, like, if you were to put a tub of that out in nature, no animal will touch it.
I actually realized recently how crazy is it that I don't use all organic skincare stuff. Like, why do I try so hard to improve upon my skin only to put chemicals on it?
Yeah, you gotta be careful.
It's crazy.
Especially those little plastic microbeads. That shit's terrible for you.
Oh, totally. Well, I am Irish. I don't exfoliate. Are you Irish?
No, I'm Italian.
Oh, I love that. Oh, I don't think we've had an Italian king on here yet. That's what Ed and I call them.
A Long Island Italian.
I love it. Love it. I don't think we've had that yet. Fabulous. We're always looking for new combos. Also, we should point out you're straight.
Yes.
Okay.
I am straight.
We like to hit... How old are you?
I'm 28.
All right, we've hit all the marks. We've had
such
young
guests
on,
such
youthful males. No, we haven't. I mean, you know what? It does sound Amadio adjacent, actually. We have had an Italian king on here. Anyway, continuing. What's your embarrassing thing?
I don't know. I really don't know. Can I come back to it? Can we move on to the next one?
Yes.
I'll try to think of it subconsciously while we're doing other stuff.
Okay, that means I have to think of another question.
Okay. I'm sorry.
What was the worst vacation you ever took?
The worst vacation, Vegas with my family before I was of age on my birthday.
Oh, that's terrible. What did you do?
The worst shit. So I was born January 1st.
I'm January 10th.
No way.
Yeah.
Crazy. So you're Capricorn.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
All of us is January 8th.
Wow. Crazy.
Yeah.
So,
mom is January 18th.
Yeah.
So I don't give a shit about my birthday. I wish it wasn't January 1st, but I'm 28 years on this earth. I've gotten used to the fact that share my birthday with a holiday.
Oh, we're both holiday babies. I'm July 4th.
Yeah,
Christina leave the house on her B-day.
Like, yeah, I don't do it either.
Yeah.
It's because it sucks. You know, when you do the New Year's celebration, like, this is my birthday summed up in like one sentence. It's just, oh, Happy New Year's. Pause. Oh, dude, happy birthday. Like, that's my whole birthday summed up.
That's my thing with it, too. Yeah. It's like, oh, it's not going to be all about me?
No.
Fuck it.
Yeah.
Then it might as well not be at all
No
about
one's
me.
Coming out to do anything on January
No one got
1st.
It worse, Let's though, see. Than those September 11th babies.
Yeah, that
they can't
shit
even
does
be
suck.
Happy about their birthday. My friend Kay was born on September 11th. You know Kay Hanley?
I've heard of people doing, like, celebrating their half birthday. So, like, I would do July 1st, but I just can't get into it. So, I'm hoping being in LA, I can change the tradition in some way. But anyway.
Brad and I are going to have a joint birthday party. You can probably get in there.
Sweet. When's Brad's birthday?
February 23rd.
Oh, sweet.
I want to have a February 2nd birthday, Groundhog's Day theme. And then when everyone's drunk at midnight, you get someone to come out dressed as a fucking groundhog and party with us.
I back that.
How fun is that?
Does Bill Murray get involved in some way?
I wish.
That would be great.
I don't think he'd give me the time of day.
He might. You never know.
What's something about your childhood that would surprise people?
I was scared of everything. Though I guess that might not be that surprising to some people.
I'll tell you this. It comes in handy because we're going to play a game with you called Do You Fear That?
Okay.
And it's a list of 50 fears. I believe you can find out a lot about someone.
Right.
All right. We'll get to Do You Fear That later in the show. But we're going to take our calls. Do you know what we
do
here?
I do.
Just sad people. We tell them how to live their lives.
Sweet.
All right. Cool.
I like it.
Hey, moms. This is Liz calling back. I called earlier, but I got cut off. I got to shorten my story. Okay. So, anyway, I was calling about my childhood best friend who recently moved away to New Hampshire. She's always had a hard time in upstate New York. We're both 22, almost 23 years old. Anyway, so she moved away. She's been doing great, missed her a lot. We've always kind of stayed in touch weekly, keeping each other updated on our lives, whatever. So when she moved away to New Hampshire, a couple months later, she comes out to me, tells me that she's gay, and I go up there and I throw her a big party. We're, like, totally celebrating her true self, all this stuff, super supportive from me 100%. She tells her family that she's gay also about a month later. This is probably in December. And they supported her, like a dream come true, easiest coming out I've ever heard of. Like, they were totally supportive 100%. So she's, you know, dating these girls on and off, watching a lot of The L Word on Netflix, totally thriving in New Hampshire. Then in February, she meets this guy, and she tells me she's dating him and that they're very serious, and she's never felt this way about anyone. He's 24 and has two toddlers, two little girls, and living on his ex's couch. They work together. They're both temps, making $12 an hour. They both didn't go to college. Nikki has a couple community college credits under her belt, and she could finish if she wanted to. But anyway, so a month after dating, they move in together, as well as these two little girls in Nikki's one-bedroom apartment. And I'm telling her that's not a good idea. Like, if you really are going to stay with this guy, you have to get a bigger place. Like, your building's going to evict you. You can't have four people living in a one-bedroom apartment. Like, come on. Anyway, so she tells me I'm not being supportive. She kind of backs off. I back off because I'm very opinionated, just out of love, though. Like, I totally love her 100%, like a sister. But so she tells me about 15 weeks ago that she's pregnant and that she's never been happier. And I fucking freaked out on her and said, Nikki, you need to get an abortion. And I know that's mean to say, but I kind of panicked. And she got really mad at me, and we made up. And so we were talking, and so I kind of accepted this, that she's going to have a baby with this guy, and he's such a fucking loser. Like, she won't let me meet him because she knows that I'm not going to fucking like him. And she won't let her family meet him because she knows they're going to freak out too. But she's having his baby. They're living in a one-bedroom apartment.
I have to say, Liz, you are the shittiest fucking friend I have ever heard in my life. You are a homophobic bitch. You're super judgmental. It's none of your fucking business. You sound terrible. I would move away from you and be gay too. I would too. You're like, oh, isn't it so cute? You're a little lesbian. Love your big lesbo dyke journey. Gonna throw a party for all the dykes. Oh, look at how good your coming out party was. You shouldn't be with a guy. You had a good experience. I made you gay in my head. I accepted it. And now you're not that. And I'm angry. Fuck you. You're terrible. Of course I've had friends get pregnant at times where I'm like, I wouldn't bring a child into the world at this point. But you know what? That's a lot of people like that. A lot of people just like to have kids and shut up and be normal. A lot of people like that. One bedroom, two bedroom, it's none of your business. I don't care if the guy's homeless. I don't care if your friend is running up the street, up another street, sucking homeless dicks, looking for crack money under every couch cushion she sucks a dick on. I don't care. I really don't care because I think you're wrong. I think you're terrible. Your friend sounds great. She sounds like a passionate woman. Living your life. Ryan, what do you think?
I don't think you can tell anybody you need to get an abortion. I don't think that's like an okay.
No, she's the worst friend ever. Like, she's a dictionary of bad things to say to someone. Like, that's what she's like, a reference manual.
Yeah. I don't think that's a sentence that should ever leave. I'm trying to think of like an instance where it's like, oh no, then it's okay to say you need an abortion, but I can't really think of
I
one.
Was talking I about this with,
because it's not your decision.
The thing is, she's
make.
Like what, 22 or 24?
Yeah.
And she admitted that it was a shitty thing to say, but on the other hand, like, you just never say shit like that.
Yeah, you can't say. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think there's a lot of people in the world who I wish didn't have kids and
maybe
a lot who I hope
asks
don't.
You.
But yeah, but still, like, you can't, it's not your vagina.
I mean, Fat Tony and I were talking about this in the last pod, and I was saying that, like, I don't even think guys really get to tell their girlfriend a lot of time what they think.
No, definitely not.
Not even, like, I don't even think this is, I mean, you're allowed to have an opinion, but I would say this is an arena, as we were discussing earlier, where your opinion isn't really appreciated.
Yeah.
And I think that when it comes to, I mean, of course, if you're asked, but I don't think you're ever supposed to volunteer to someone that they should terminate a pregnancy.
Yeah.
That's fucked. Yeah, like, no, look, just because it's an option doesn't mean we should rally behind it first and foremost.
Yeah.
It's fucked. Look, if she's happy, let her be happy. You sound terrible. Go find some more terrible people to hang out with. She sounds great. I want to hang out with her. Give me your number. Stop listening to this podcast. I'm over you. Next call.
Hey, Moms and the crew. What's up? You guys are the best. I love what you guys do. Basically, I'm calling to ask you guys about, your advice on, I've been single for a while, and I stopped drinking alcohol because I kept getting, like, back out wasted and hitting on guys and then, like, going home with them and having sex with them and not remembering anything about it. And I'd, like, kind of know them, so it wasn't, like, complete random people or anything like that. And, like, so it pretty much happened over the summer. It was, like, a wild, weird summer. And I've hung out with most of them again. Only one guy completely blew me off, and it was like a learning experience or whatever, but not quite because I continued to do it. And now I'm not drinking because I didn't like how I kept falling these behavior patterns that would make me feel sad and were like getting validation through dudes or whatever. Like, and dudes I wouldn't be interested in sober, really. Which is why I would usually end up stopping talking to them, because, like, I just didn't have that, like, fundamental base, you know, thing that makes you want to keep seeing someone or like them or whatever. And so it's been, it'll be 3 weeks in a couple days from now, no drinking. And now I'm kind of just trying to do my own thing and do all that stuff that you're supposed to do when you're single and, like, learning about yourself. We're staying apart a lot, shopping. I'm obsessed with Zumba, so I work out a lot. Like gardening and blah, blah, blah. I'm asking, okay, so I'm not really into the whole online dating thing. I tried it and I felt like it was weird. I don't really like taking selfies. Like, I feel like it's just not for me. I'm kind of like old school. I prefer like the serendipitous kind of, you know, romance. And I guess what I'm asking is, like, do you think that that's all lost? Does that even exist anymore? Should I just give in and join Tinder or whatever? 'Cause I don't really want to, but also, I mean, I know people meet in real life all the time, but I guess, I don't know, how do you do that? And I think I'm afraid of getting rejected or something like that. Dating in general is weird. So, please advise. What would you do? I don't know. Thank you.
Ryan, I don't know about you, but I think that if you have to stop drinking because you keep blacking out and passing out your hole, you are not above online dating.
You're not above online dating. Gotcha. Okay.
If you literally had to quit booze because you were such a fucking first-rate whore that you couldn't live with yourself, really?
I just want to clarify. Like, I was laughing because I totally did not expect Molly to say passing out your hole.
Girl, I'm always good for a new one.
I don't know if I would call her.
That's
whore.
What she feels like, though. That's why she had to stop. It's because she's not cool with her behavior. I don't think she's a whore. Get her life. I think that sounds great. There's a lot of girls that do that and call here and be like, oh, hey, I just do that all the time. Now I'm pregnant. So what? What do I do about that? No one will call being like, oh, should
and
I quit drinking?
You wouldn't tell them to get an abortion.
No. Wouldn't tell them to get an abortion. Actually, I think I actually have told people on here to get an abortion. Maybe I should take that back. No, I can maybe have floated the idea. She sounds like she needs to do some self-work.
I mean, definitely. But, I mean, I don't totally hate on the idea of, you know, of cutting out booze for a minute. I think it would be smarter to be able to find, because like that's going to be an inevitably temporary thing. Like, it's rare that someone's like, okay, especially at that age, to just cut it out and never touch it again.
I know. So I think it's very smart for her not to be drinking.
Right. But what would be even smarter would be like, can I maybe find the middle ground between like being able to have a drink or two to take the edge off so that I can walk up to guy X and say, hey, what's up? Like, you know, and then be able to, because no one likes rejection and no one really, you know, especially in this day and age, likes the idea of walking up to people in real life, like she said, not on Tinder or wherever else, and sure. starting that. And it's not the worst thing in the world to have a drink or two when you go to do that, you know? But
right.
you need to be able to find that middle ground between, like, I hate myself drinks and, like, I can do this drinks.
It sounds to me like she does have a really bad relationship with alcohol. Like, yeah, it does sound it does sound like her drinking is unhealthy. Like, if you're blacking out, I have to say, I've really partied over the years. We know this about me. But I think the actual times I've blacked out are very rare.
I've never actually blacked out. I don't drink much. So that's why I was saying I back it. But
three times for me.
Yeah. It's not, I mean, it's just
two of which are the result of alcohol poisoning.
I would say honestly, it's with chicks it's harder too, because especially in college, I just remember being like shoveled liquor.
Yeah.
Like yeah, so I mean, I didn't even know what I was drinking most of the time. So
I will say this: I back the idea of you know, of having the courage to want a real interaction as opposed to an online one. At least to have that be your jump off point. I think it's really difficult, you know, to do that in this day and age. But I would say, like, of actual productive advice, like, remember that everybody out there now is completely fucking petrified to talk to people for the most part, like, especially dudes. Like,
it's the truth.
And it's all my dude friends who are single are like, you know, because I've been in a relationship for years now, and they're just like, you know, oh, you're so lucky, man, like, I'm on Tinder and I'm on this and it sucks and blah blah blah. And it's like, but nobody's walking up to anybody and speaking to anybody. So like, if you're at in any type of social environment, Zumba, wherever, and there's a dude who you think is nice to look at, like, remember that, like, confidence in this day and age is like mind exploding. Like, I know that if I was single and a girl walked up to me and was just like, hey, what's, you know, what's up, like,
yeah,
and
regardless
that
of what
energy,
she looked like,
yeah, like, just that energy, like, when you meet confidence now in that it's like very, territory, yeah. It's very like disarming now because all of the cell phone interactions and shit. It makes
this
it that much
my
more
theory.
Special.
You Whenever know? You're vocal about what you want, people will reward you.
Yeah.
Like, just, I mean, honestly, I've really found, I know my mom gave me shit for this, but I was saying, like, I really don't think I've been told that no that many times. I don't think I ask a lot of questions.
That's right. I remember she was like, that, I told you no.
I know. And I'm like, Mom, I know you did. But in life in general, I don't believe I ask for a lot of outrageous demands. So I do find that when I do ask for something, most of the time I'm answered with a yes.
Right.
I feel. So I also think that you need to know that, like, no one's exempt from this. Like, everyone is uncomfortable doing this.
Yeah.
Like, it's very awkward. That's
absolutely
why there's so much music and movies and everything. I mean, it's a known emotional trigger point for a lot of people. So
right.
That part of it, I would have to say, get over yourself a little bit, because it's not unique to you. It's uncomfortable for everyone. And that being said, I take comfort in that, knowing that everyone's just as uncomfortable as I am. I take great comfort in that. So maybe reframe it that way mentally. Yeah. But also, I have to say, I do think it's concerning that 3 weeks after you do something as kind of big as not stopping drinking. I don't think she was addicted to drinking, but it is, even when you're in your early 20s and you don't drink, that's a big part of your social life that's all of a sudden needs to be supplemented somehow.
Sure.
And I think that it probably couldn't hurt her to spend some more time on herself. Like, she doesn't.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, you know, she had no stakes in this phone call that she made, and she didn't sound confident. And that says something to me, that she sounded so sad and scared. Like, that sounds like a person that needs to do some me time. I'm always saying
maybe,
that as a person,
you know,
that's been there.
See a therapist, get your issues sorted out. Because I don't think just stopping alcohol is going to fix whatever you need to.
Yeah.
You need to explore why alcohol does that to you.
Why is that your – yeah, no, I know. Yeah. I'm like, Christina, I know.
Sorry.
No, I'm pretty sure some podcast listeners are saying that too. But Ryan, can I ask, how did you meet your lady friend?
I've been dating my girlfriend for 5 years now. We actually went to high school together, but didn't speak to one another in high school. And then
I love those relationships.
My best friend from high school, like the only dude I still speak to from high school, really, he was family friends with her. So like we were like high school kids, like crushing on her and being like, oh, there's Lisa, blah, blah, blah. She was a year older than us.
Was
so that's a big
like
deal.
Really popular?
No, she wasn't really popular, but she was
like a Winnie Cooper type.
Yes, that's a perfect example. So me and I'm also Catholic school. So ugly ass uniforms. Mm. Girls are in these long hideous skirts, you know, like
stifling.
Shit was just terrible. And so it was like a big deal to see a girl outside of school.
Oh yeah.
In plain clothes, especially since she was older than us. So Sean was family friend, so he would like report back to me like, "Yo, I saw Lisa this weekend." And
that's right. There's something so erotic about seeing someone in their regular clothes when you go to a uniform school.
Oh, it's crazy.
I was a public school idiot, so I didn't have the experience.
Yeah, it's weird. So anyway, years and years later now, I had just gotten off tour and he hits me up and he's just like, dude, you're never going to believe who I saw this weekend. Do you remember Lisa Blashley from high school? And I was just like, yeah, of course, you know. And he was like, you have to hit her up. And I'm just like, absolutely not. Like, I just got out of a relationship. I want nothing to do with anything like that. And he's like, dude, she's an artist. She fucking listens to the same shit you do, blah, 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 blah. Like, you have to. And then I ended up hitting her up.
So wait, was she your rebound?
No. Oh. No, not at all. I was in like...
You said that you had just
gotten out. I just gotten out of a relationship, but that relationship was probably more of the rebound, you know.
Yeah,
like that
it's
was
weird.
Like a 4 month thing that was just like, what the fuck am I doing? And now like we were about to start writing a record, so I was just like, I need to just focus on shit, you know. And then when I first met Lisa, like when I went to meet up with her, totally admitted to her later, like in the back of my mind it was on like some like, yeah, I'm gonna hook up with that girl who I used to think was super fine in high school, and then that's it.
Right,
that's it. This will be a fun weekend story. Thing. Yeah, yeah, like that's it.
Also, like the 17-year-old boy who still lives inside you, mm-hmm. would be like a moral victory for him.
Exactly. Yeah. So I was just like, we're just gonna hang, you know, and that'll be a fun thing, and that's it. And because I suck at being single, so I also was convincing myself like, yeah, you
got
this.
What does that mean, you suck at being single?
I haven't been single much, so I guess I just suck at doing it.
I don't think that's true. I think that
that means you're awesome at relationships.
I guess so. I don't know.
What is the part of you that likes to be in relationships so much?
What is the part?
Yeah. Like what, if you have to identify what it is about you that makes you a monogamous, like partnered, I mean, I don't know if you're monogamous, but like a partnered person.
No, I am. With honestly, like this sounds corny, but Lisa is really like when I shrink it to its most simple terms, it's like if I think about wanting to go do something with somebody, I'd rather be doing it with her than anybody else. So it's like I'm gonna keep doing that. It's really very simple at its core.
Right.
You know, like any girl who I've ever dated, it's usually the relationship itself has been at its core like a very strong friendship that then has like escalated
an admiration.
Know. Yeah. You know, yeah. So it's like she's that person for me, so it's like I wouldn't want that to cease, you know what I mean? And then when relationships end for me, it's because there's been some type of divide that causes it to you know. I was with a girl for 4 years and I was touring and she was in medical school, and it was just like eventually conversation got to a point where I was just like, I'm not listening anymore, like this, neither of us are listening to one another and we don't have that thing anymore, so it's over, you know?
Yeah.
But when it at first, like it was just she was the person I wanted to do everything with, you know.
Yeah.
And then I think also, at least for me, I spend a lot of time alone. Like I've always been that way.
Yeah.
Either working on music or just I enjoy being alone. So I've never been the type who's like, oh, what am I doing with my group of friends,
right,
Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night?
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like I'm working on shit or spending time by myself. And then when I'm not doing that, I want to be with her, you know? So I think that leads to that element of monogamy or whatever.
I understand that. I definitely understand that. I've always been a relationship person. I can't, but at the same time, I really am so glad that I was so single for a chunk of time. Like, I think that I was really, I remember thinking, I had, like, I've always had older guy friends. Mm-hmm. When I was in my early 20s, like, they would be in their early 30s. And more recently, they've said to me, yeah, I, like, never understood, like, why you always had such trouble with guys. And I was like, I've never had trouble with guys. I was just in my 20s. Like, right. That's just, like, what most people's the end goal for everyone is not relationship.
Sure. So have you had, like, good experiences being single where you had, like, because for me, I think part of the reason I say I suck at being single, too, is, like, when I was single and was just not looking for a relationship, but, you know, looking to just hang with girls and not be all over the place, but that in between where it's fucking healthy, you know? And
yeah,
9 out of 10 interactions are just, were insane.
Well, a lot of people are duds. There's that. I rarely find people that I really, really like.
Right.
Which is why I get, I think, probably what I used to not be good at was letting go of something that wasn't right.
Right.
Like if I was being told no and I was like, oh, no, but we're in a relationship. And I was like, no, but we're not. And actually, I think you should see other people. And I'm like, but I'm your girlfriend, right? So like I was never like good at that.
Okay.
But at the end of the day, I think I am pretty boy crazy. And okay. I've realized that recently about myself. I'm not boy crazy in the sense it's like, oh, I want to be around all the boys. But like right. When I'm single, I'm good at it, I think, because I really like, I like going out with guys. Like I like, right. I like laughing with guys. I like converse. I mean, there's something intriguing there to me, because to be honest, most of my relationships in my life have not been with straight men. Like I actually really realized in my last long-term relationship that I have very little information on what goes on with straight men.
So you're talking about your friendships, or just like you've discovered that like the people you've hooked up with in the past all happen to be...
Any relationships, I think.
I think that I realized that, okay, so I didn't have a dad, and I was raised by uncles and aunts, and I had a grandfather, but definitely we're like a matriarchy in my family, mm-hmm. for sure. The women run shit.
That's what's up.
And... all the guys that every woman in my family is married to, I noticed this one, they're all just good sports. Like every guy who's married to a chick in my family is a good sport. And like, that's it. And it's the truth across the board. So
in terms of being like passive,
Greg is amused. I think all the guys in our family are amused. Like, and they're happy being that role.
I like that better than the norm. You know what I mean? Like, I like that better than the male dominated, the old fashioned qualities that you normally see.
Are you a flower gardener person? Do you believe in that world? There's this like philosophy that in every relationship there needs to be a flower and there needs to be a gardener.
Okay.
Two gardeners can be together. Two flowers can never be together. And the analogy is essentially that there are some people that need to be stars and there are some people that need to be nurtured. And
I just had a realization about myself.
You're a gardener?
Yeah. How did you know?
Because I just know that about you. Do you want to know what I am?
You're a flower.
I actually am a flower who thinks she's a gardener.
Interesting.
Because I do so much work. I do all the work always, and I never make a fucking peep, and then I just wind up murdering everyone in their sleep. Like, that is... like, oh, like
just tearing flowers out.
Yeah, oh, it's just like terrible. Right, like, oh, like we're all on a lake vacation, yep. And I'm stabbing your whole family in their sleep, one by Sweet. One, room by room. but yeah. So I don't know where I started with this, but I would say that's what I'm thinking about.
I think that makes sense. I would definitely be a flower. And if my girl was here, she would be just laughing and being like, "Yeah, you're the center of your own fucking universe."
Right.
You know, she would definitely.
I definitely always do. I mean, but do you ever think? I don't know. Maybe I over because I am a flower. Mm-hmm. I place too much importance on my gardening. And okay. I'm like, Hello. Has everyone seen that I'm an amazing gardener?
No, like, we're totally alike in that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do the same thing. Yeah.
And I wouldn't call myself a martyr. In fact, I hate that. But mm-hmm. like, I do kind of find that sometimes I do simple actions and I think they're way more, because they're laborious for me.
Yeah, 100% with you.
Because my head's up my ass.
Yep.
I always tell my friends, I'm like, please, if you're ever mad at me, just say it out loud, because 90% of the time I'm running around with my fucking head up my ass and I have no idea what anyone's problem is.
Right.
Like,
right.
My biggest problem is me all the time. So there's that.
But you're honest about it.
Yeah, but I I'm not one of those like super.
Not honest, but aware. That was
aware. Oh, word. No, for sure aware, yeah. But.
And then in that
I'm
case,
I don't think I'm
awesome.
One of them either. You know what I mean? Like one of those I don't think I'm that into myself. I definitely hate a lot of
myself. If you're aware,
myself.
Then you can't be.
Well, they say a narcissist can never call themselves a narcissist because an actual narcissist right. wouldn't be able to identify as being remotely self-absorbed.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Do you know what a general is? Like a general meeting?
A general what?
A general meeting.
I don't know if I do.
Okay. So if you're, when you're a writer, uh-huh. you go on generals all the time.
Okay.
And you go, like, this is what your agent does to keep you busy and that. Actually, I have found for years I would just fight back and I'd be like, why am I going on these? I don't know how to talk to strangers.
Right.
And they'd be like, just trust me. And now that I'm starting to pitch, I'm like, oh, now I get it. Now I know I made the rounds.
Gotcha.
But there's this thing they do in generals. When you sit down, they're just like, so tell me about you. And
I've
they give you
this.
Nothing to start from.
Yeah.
And so I always start with like, well, I was born in Lexington, Massachusetts. so I'm going to do that to you.
Okay.
Tell me
cool.
about you.
I was born on Long Island in New York. I was a pretty regular kid. I was into sports and, you know, pretty normal upbringing. And then I'd say around 8 or 9 years old, maybe I got into music, like really knew like something was up there
mm-hmm.
and kind of did sports and music for a while. And then eventually got to a point where I just did music, you know, and
mm-hmm.
had like my two friends that I did music with and kind of disappeared from all.
That's so awesome that you found it early.
Yeah, I guess I never really thought about the fact that that a lot of people struggle to find that.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, no, it's cool. Like that's a very cool thing. So then from there.
Let's see. All I wanted to do once I discovered, you know, playing in a band was go on tour. And I was fortunate enough that I came from Long Island where there was a scene there at the time when mm-hmm. I was, you know, 14, 15 years old. And, so I saw it, like, it was like tangible to me, you know, like I saw these dudes who grew up in the towns around me
right.
getting in a van and then in a bus.
That's
right.
I remember
careers.
That time. That yeah. was very exciting.
Totally. I'm and a,
that time. Yeah.
What's that?
I grew up during that time too.
Right.
And I knew kids from Long Island who did go on tour.
Exactly.
Like God, that. I thought that was so hot. Like when a guy would be like, I'm going on tour and it meant like he was driving to Rhode Island. I mean, like, it's so fucking hot.
Yeah. It was like the dawn of the internet when like it was easy
yes.
to make really good.
Strictly MySpace.
Yeah, and it was easy to distribute so that
yeah.
you could go on tour.
Exactly. Yeah, we used to sit in I think we had like a 1978 cargo van with just like two bucket seats, and we would sit on like the old power books, just burning CDs and putting labels on them. And then
how many bands
shows.
Have you been in?
I had childhood bands or teenage bands that didn't go anywhere, but
that counts too.
That counts too. So then, the first one was with my buddy Justin, who's now a producer who goes by the name of Party Supplies, very successful producer in Brooklyn. He's
cool.
awesome. So Justin, first band, then I fell into the band that I really did most of my touring with. And then after that, that band was called Envy on the Coast. And then after that, after that band ended, I started a band with my buddy Mike and Billy and my old guitar player from Envy. Billy plays in a band called Dillinger Escape Plan.
Mm-hmm.
And we had sort of a heavy project together called NK. And then after that, I started doing my own stuff. So
what does
really,
NK
like,
mean?
Actually, we were initially called North Korea. We
oh.
literally were just like, let's fucking do it. And then Brian bailed on the project. We're still super tight, still make music together. But the music sort of was less heavy and, you know, evolved into something different. And then we signed a deal and the label was just like, you should decide now if you're going to stick with this or not. Because, like, I think things started to hit the news too, and North Korea was like really doing some gnarly stuff. So it's like, do you guys really want to carry this or not? You know. So we just were like, let's just call it NK. People can call us and North Korea or whatever the fuck they want.
But I
let's
like
just,
that.
So yeah.
Wow, that's very interesting. I mean, I guess that makes sense that they would come to you about something that could be that politically dicey. Yeah.
The North Korea Facebook page would get tagged in photos. I forward all the messages to Brad.
Right.
Anytime I get a message, I just send it to Brad because it's amazing. Like, the shit that I get is incredible.
Brad's your manager, my boyfriend.
Yes.
Just for people. He's cool.
He's very cool.
And how did you guys meet?
So I guess we met through mutual friends who are from the Bay, who are from the Bay Area, because it's pretty much like the same thing that I came from in Long Island with our music scene there. Seems like the Bay had its own thing back in that era. So our crews kind of converged at one point. And I met Brad through my friend Matt Fozzi and Isaac Bolivar. And Brad came to New York. Actually, I believe it was his first trip to New York. During CMJ, and we got lunch and sort of met and hung out, and he was like, keep me up to date on what you're doing. And then I told him I might be coming to LA, and he was like, you should definitely come here. And yeah, honestly, like, back in New York, I had a lot of people who were working for me or doing cool things for me, but Brad was the first person who I really felt like actually gave a shit and got me. So I came to LA.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he's the man.
I do think that LA is, it's a necessary evil.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's just like, if you want to really play ball, you got to come here.
Totally.
And I actually wish that was not true very much. I would love to go live in New York, or I would really love to live in Austin.
I was going to ask you that, like, being as though you're a writer, you feel like you have to be here, right?
I don't have a choice. Yeah. At this point in my career, I mean, yes, there's always a world where you're super successful, you mm-hmm. live wherever,
right?
You send your scripts, you fly out here when you need to.
Of course.
But that's a while away for me.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I've definitely had things that have come about, you know, out here just from being in certain rooms or being in certain situations that I go home, I'm like, fuck, like that doesn't happen if I'm living in a cabin in the woods, you know?
Yeah. Tell us about your current thing real quick. Your first vows.
Yeah, that's my my own project that I started back in New York and then came out here and got the guys together to basically make it into a band. And we've done a couple of shows here within LA, which has been rad. And I'm now writing what will probably end up being the full length, like the first full.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, I'm pumped on it. It's taken a bit of a different direction than where I was at when I first started the project, but that's because I've brought other people in. And, you know, once everyone's making music with headphones on it at a laptop now, and then when you go and play the shit live, like, I think if it doesn't evolve, that's weird. You know what I mean?
Well, in writing, I find that I'm not as good at that as I wish I could be, and I wonder if it's similar or dissimilar in music, that I find that if I can't make the story work the way that I thought it was mm-hmm. going to work, and that's a part of my vision, then I'm doing it wrong.
What do you mean?
So if something comes, if you go into something, you saying that the sound changed a lot.
Yes.
I would be very freaked out if something tonally took a drastic turn.
Oh,
you
would like fight it.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. No, I've always, if anything, what feels like a hindrance to me, though I'm mm-hmm. very fortunate because there's been a fan base that has followed every project that I've ever done, and I've done a lot of very different shit.
That's awesome.
And I get these emails from people that I can't even believe that I'm like, God, like, I'm under a fucking rock over here. Like, I, you know, no one even knows, or at least I didn't think people knew I'm doing shit. And I'm getting these emails like, I've loved every single thing your voice
has
been on.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so I'm fortunate for that. But I don't fight it because I get bored easily. Like, coming out here to LA, like, seeing the landscape of what's going on and seeing what people are doing musically and then, like, experimenting with the live show, I'm just like, no, like, the bar has to be higher and everyone's going this way, so I want to go this way, you know, in a different direction if they're all heading that way, you know?
Yeah.
So, and partially just because it's what I feel, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, I don't fight it. That's the only way I know how to do it, though. Like,
that's cool.
You know what I mean? Like, I only know how to, like, just run with it, you know?
But, I mean, I would think that the equivalent of that would be like, I don't know, I'm trying to think. I mean, I feel like when I'm just writing personally, like when I was writing my book, that was very stream of consciousness. It turned into a million things I did not think it would ever be.
Right.
But in script writing, there's like, you're doing it wrong.
Right. If there's an actual structure you have to abide by.
Right.
Right.
And isn't music kind of the same thing?
It is. And it is and it isn't.
Okay.
And it depends who you're speaking to, and it depends what type of music you're making. So if you're going into a session with other writers, yes, there's a formula. Not necessarily a formula, but unspoken rules that it's like, I've never gone into a session with anybody that's like, you know, that I don't know as like, let's write a song today, and been able to embrace the fact like, yo, let's just fucking jam. And let's do like an 8-minute thing. Like that's not going to happen on those incidents, you know? But at the same token, like, that's not to say that those records don't exist and people don't break those rules in the best ways. And
Fish has done very well for themselves.
Exactly. But yeah, like, I think part of my thing too is that I rarely give a shit about the artist that has done the best thing that they could do within the confines of those rules. I always have gravitated to the dude or the group of people or female, whoever, who have smashed things together that don't belong together and figured out how to make them work and therefore created something new. So that's always my journey.
That's always my thing. That's amazing.
Yeah. It's annoying, but yeah, it can be fun.
Let's take another call.
Yo, Molly, what's going on? Basically, I'm calling for the first time because I'm kind of stressed about, you know, life and all these things. And, you know, I just need some advice on, like, you know, how to maintain positive and how to be, like, you know, happy all the time, isn't it? Because right now, without a job and, you know, trying to look for a job is sort of difficult. So how do I stay positive in a world full of so much negativity? Goodbye.
Well, I'm so sad that you're sad, but there's nothing about this call I don't love.
We made it to Jamaica.
I literally can't.
Or some sort of other Caribbean country that he comes from.
I'm thrilled. Like, I'm so thrilled that this happened. I'm so sad that you're sad, though. Doesn't he sound sweet?
Yeah. Totally.
But he has a very unrealistic expectation of wanting to be happy.
Yeah.
All the time.
You can't.
Can't be happy all the time.
It doesn't exist.
Otherwise, it wouldn't be happiness.
No. It doesn't exist. Yeah.
It implies a spike. That's all I'm saying. Mm-hmm. So I would say if you want to get happy, you need to find some like chill, creative you time.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe lay down on the floor with some like cookies and magazines and roll around and like laugh at stuff and say things in your head that make you laugh. That's what I do all the time. Say things in my head that make me laugh. What do you think, Christina?
I don't know. You just have to find new hobbies that you enjoy. And sometimes you find joy in like discovering something new that you didn't realize you had a passion for.
You should come to the United States and intern for Please Advise. I would love that. And that seems like that.
Thank you for listening.
I know. Can you just like call all the time? Will you please just call all the time and just say hi? Let us know. Update us on your happiness. 323-450-7408. That's also where people can call us and leave messages. Ryan, what do you think?
I think, I think first of all, accepting the fact that you're never going to just fully level out and plateau because it just doesn't exist.
I thought for a second you were going to say just accept the fact that you're never going to be happy, which is what I've done with my life.
Christina.
No, you got to. It's like the thing that sucks about when you're bummed out or when you're depressed. Like I was going through this recently and it was just like I was sitting on the couch and was just bummed out about a whole bunch of different shit. And I realized in my brain, like, what really sucks is that all I want to do is just sit here. I just want to sit here and do either nothing or do something that's not going to make me happy.
Oh, depression's a warm blanket.
Yeah,
I mean, so, it's very comfortable.
Right. So it's like it's really easy to just be like, I'll just watch 1,000 episodes of something or whatever.
Grey's Anatomy, which is what I've been doing.
Yeah, it's all you feel like doing. But the truth is, it's, you know, you'd be much better off if, you know, you went and started working out and then, you know, went and were just like, I'm going to go do this thing that is, feels weird that I'm going to go to this place to try this thing out or whatever, because it's uncomfortable to, and annoying to have it be this active thing. But the truth is, that's how you attain it.
Is doing something new is very exhausting.
Yeah. You know, you got it.
Maybe he could date this girl that called, the sad single girl. He'd come to America, date that girl, work for Please Advise. I actually think things are shaping up for you, my friend.
Yeah. I think you just need to really be proactive about it. Just enter new scenarios and try new shit and just place yourself in situations you otherwise wouldn't. Because unfortunately, trying to attain happiness or being happy is like a very active thing.
Be a man of the world.
Yeah. And also be satisfied with what you do have, because I'm sure he's got plenty to be happy about.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. I was going to say, think about the worst time you've ever had in your life and the fact that you're not there anymore.
Yeah.
It's really hard to, when you're going through it, when you're in it, to remember that it is temporary.
Yeah.
It can go on for a really long time too, but it still will end. Yeah. So, because everything does. So
totally.
Take comfort in the temporariness of life. Is that word?
Yeah, sure. I guess so.
Okay, next call.
I'm sure people will reply us with the right word like they did this week.
Hey, look, I was drunk. I know that word. It's culminated. I know that word. It's culminated. I was very drunk.
I actually said that during the show, but I cut it out because I coughed right after. So
yeah, no, you did. You did real good. It was funny. It made me laugh. By the way, you guys, that episode has really good listening play counts so far. So thank you. All right. Ryan, we have a game called Do You Fear That?
Okay.
You want to play it?
Yeah, I'm down.
It's a list of 50 fears. The answers are yes or no, or you can elaborate.
Okay.
One, being naked in front of someone who's angry with you.
No.
Really?
No. The nudity thing doesn't bother me.
Deep space.
Fear it? No.
Fire.
Yes.
Food in countries you've never been to.
No.
The dark.
No.
Unexpectedly seeing a naked adult.
No.
Clowns.
No.
Sleeping alone.
No.
Getting caught talking to yourself in the car.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. Because I do it. I definitely do it. And
I know.
And then it creeps. You can tell?
No, I'm just saying I asked the question as if I didn't know what the answer could be, and I do the same thing. Right. And that's why it's the same reason I feel embarrassed.
And it's not even the realization like, oh, I've been doing that. And then how long has the person next to me been driving next to me to be able to notice that I'm doing that? But now that we have Bluetooth, we're all fine because we all look completely sane.
Whoa, yeah, no, I count on that a lot. But yeah. I do have to say I've started the really unfortunate. Oh, it's just so unfortunate what I've started. It's so unfortunate. I don't even know if I can be brought to say it out loud.
Let's hear it.
I'm talking to myself in the street a little bit.
That's okay.
I do that all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
No, that's like, fine. That's crazy.
No.
No. I guess I'm a crazy person then, because I do that quite often.
My whole face feels hot. Then I just admitted that out loud.
Check it out. Everybody, everybody out there now has the ability to reach for their phone and talk to anybody they want whenever they want.
All right.
The only difference is that we're fine because we're just like, no, we don't need to tell anybody. I'm just gonna
say it to
me. So we're
Molly.
I think that's more sane, right?
Sometimes I mouth dialogue
to
fake scenes that I will never write while I'm walking.
Yeah, that's great. I think that's fantastic.
With hand gestures.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Because I'm from Brooklyn.
I think it's
and
great.
And that's how we communicate.
Yeah. No, you're totally A-okay.
You're pretty normal. You're doing better than I am.
Yeah.
What's so crazy is I think of you as such like a internal person. I can't imagine that.
Oh yeah, I do that.
Right.
And then I get deeply embarrassed because I get caught quite frequently doing it.
Nice.
Yeah.
I know. And you're like, I'm crazy.
Yeah.
Little person porn.
What?
Do you fear that?
Fear it? No. No, not fear. No.
Germs?
No.
Saying a new word out loud for the first time?
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, right? That one sucks.
Being the only person in your friend group who doesn't understand the movie you just saw.
Say it one more time.
Being the only person in your friend group who doesn't understand the movie you just saw.
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
First dates.
Oh, it's been a while, but yeah, definitely. I would fear that one.
Finding out that you've been suffering from a severe mental illness your entire life.
Yeah, that sounds terrible.
Watching mold grow on nature shows.
No.
What you'll see when you look in the mirror.
Yeah.
Lena Dunham's success.
No.
Dancing in Public.
Yeah.
You know what's interesting? You know, Tony was actually kind of not 100% positive about how he felt about Lena Dunham's success, which I thought was very interesting.
Yeah.
Because I actually was like, this is going to be like, why are you even asking me this question?
Right. Did he have reasons or?
I didn't pry. I usually don't pry on that one because most of the time I don't really like what I think someone's answer. What I perceive anyone's answer is going to be is like pretty unfortunate. Singing in public.
No. Totally. Unless it's karaoke.
Yeah, okay. Can I tell you something? I really hate professional musicians at karaoke. Get the fuck out of the building.
I thought you were going to just stop it.
No, I really hate. Like, you guys suck. No,
that's why I don't do it. Well, what are you supposed to do? Like, anytime like I've had friends who've been like, yeah, come on, dude, it's my birthday or whatever. I'm like, what do you want me to go up there and make believe I'm wasted and not try and make a joke out of it and.
Right, or like, do you want to try?
Like, and then
and
really
make everyone
be an asshole.
Feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, and be weird. So, yeah. And no matter how you do it, it's gonna be weird.
Never.
Well,
do
maybe you should try like a genre that's like completely different from you that would not fit you your voice.
True, it still always feels weird. Mm. It feels weird
because I can imagine
I've only
someone
done it twice.
Like, it's kind of cool when someone like I don't know, like if Josh Groban started doing like the Thong Song, that would be weird, and he wouldn't necessarily kill it. But
right.
I would leave.
Yeah, I would
I'd
leave.
Actually just
I gotta
burn
say,
the whole place
I could do
down.
Without that. Yeah.
I have no problem with Josh Groban. Don't want to see that.
No.
Would pay a dollar to not see that. Missing 100%. Out on events/parties?
Hell no.
Having to go to events/parties?
Yes.
That you're a fraud?
Yes.
That no one would ever romantically love you if your face got burned off with acid?
No.
You have no fear of that. You really think that you can just carry the whole thing? No, faceless.
All right, yeah, maybe I'll say that. I guess I'd be
okay.
Insane
a
not
lot
to
of
fully
people,
assess it.
A lot of people say they do not fear that, by the
right.
way. I just think that would be...
I don't think I could do... Like, no.
If you were to, like, go back two questions and ask me, like weigh them out, like the face acid thing or going to a social event,
right.
I would immediately say that the face acid thing would be easier for me. So
right.
That's why it's instinct to be like, oh, no.
No, yeah. No, I mean, you're right. It could be about the way the questions are ordered. But at the same time, I think when a lot of people process that question, they're like, is my face everything? I think that's what they think and they don't think.
Right.
Could I operate with a melty flesh face? Because you don't have to like, get a new face or like you just don't get a face. Like, and that's very alarming for people to see someone without a face.
That's true.
People don't know how to process that.
That's true.
I want to be weird. Like, I mean, I love being different. I don't want to be like that. Different like that. No offense if your face has been burned off with acid. Mispronouncing someone's name every time you see them and never being corrected.
Yeah, that sounds awful.
Spending a week in Times Square.
No, that's okay.
Contracting an STD.
Yeah, that sounds like it'd be scary.
Blindly reaching into a bag of jelly beans and putting one in your mouth without looking at it?
No, that's chill.
Going through TSA?
Yeah.
Needles?
No, fine with them.
Why do you fear going through TSA?
Because I always think, like, no matter how many times I check my bag, it's like there's weed in here somewhere.
Catholic!
Yeah.
Same thing.
There's just gotta be weed in here.
I've already convicted myself. I'm already, like planning how I'm gonna tell my cellmate that like she can rape me but like please just like be chill about it like
I was a good kid and I was like, you know, I didn't drink or smoke or do anything until like way late in life,
right?
But I'm that dude that like despite that the one time that I let my guard down
always.
I'm getting arrested.
That's when you get AIDS.
I mean?
I think that about AIDS. What's in tap water?
Yeah, that's terrifying.
Spending a month or more with your family and only your family.
Yeah.
Sunday nights.
No, Sunday nights are great.
That you have bad body odor or breath and no one knows how to tell you.
No, I probably do. It's fine.
Commitment?
No, I'm fine with that.
Becoming homeless?
No.
Change?
No.
Falling in love with a stripper or sex worker?
A stripper who what?
A stripper or sex worker.
Hmm.
A prostitute.
Yeah. No, that sounds interesting. That sounds like it'd be fun.
Really?
Yeah.
You wouldn't be jealous?
of course I would be jealous.
Right.
But I don't know if I'd be scared of the situation. I wouldn't be fearful of it. It would be a really like confusing place to be in, right?
Wild time in your life.
Yeah, it's like, that sounds interesting, you know?
Remember
like,
that year I dated a stripper? Right. You dated a prostitute.
Exactly.
Vomiting.
Yeah, vomiting sucks.
Bugs.
No, I'm okay with bugs.
Being fisted.
Yeah, that's frightening.
Unusually good-looking people.
Yeah, that's scary too.
The dentist.
No.
Death.
No.
Knowing what your hot dog's made of?
Yeah, that's frightening.
Crying in public?
No. Yeah.
Being with a woman who's crying in public?
Yep.
Being arrested for a murder you didn't commit?
Yep.
Heights?
Yes, I'm scared of heights.
The idea that your worst enemy might be right about you?
Yeah.
Birds.
Birds?
Mm-hmm.
No, birds are birds.
A lot of people fear birds. You'd be surprised.
Yeah, my mom's scared of birds ever since the Hitchcock film.
Flapping?
Flapping?
Is it the flapping that scares her, or like they might peck her?
I don't know. I think it might just be that the film was that, like, she probably saw it too young, and ever since then it just like ingrained it.
Yeah,
in her
that's
mind,
true.
You know?
That's yeah. true.
Hi, Malls. My name is Ben, and I have a family drama question. Quick background. I grew up in Montana. Parents divorced when I was really young. Dad moved to California shortly thereafter for work. The first person my mom dated after the divorce was my dad's niece. Now, my dad didn't know my mom was a lesbian. I mean, she's like kind of a, I don't want to say bull dyke, but she's, you know, one of the rougher lesbians. I don't know how he didn't know, but he didn't know. And he certainly didn't know that she was dating his niece once he moved out of town. Pardon me. So there's the background on that. She kept it from him for years. She was, you know, very slowly came out. But I come from a big Irish family, so my mom and all my family, especially my cousin Mike, are all drinking buddies. So they routinely get drunked up together, get in fights, make up the next day, get drunked up, repeat, repeat, repeat. So one night after they got into a booze-fueled argument, at around 3 a.m., my cousin Mike called my mom, or called my dad, rather, in California, and spilled the beans, told him she was a lesbian living with his niece and that his young children were being subjected to all this. He's since gotten divorced because he's a big old gay mo himself, so maybe he was, you know, working out something on his own, but anyway, that's how that went. My dad called the next day, wanted to know, hey, what's going on? My mom immediately handed the phone off to me and, you know, talked to your father. Because at 12 years old, that's the conversation I should be having with my dad. But anyway, the point is, my cousin Mike, that was the last straw in a long line of him doing and saying stupid shit when he was drunk. So even at the tender age of like 12, 13 years old, I was like, fuck this guy. I wrote him off. Haven't talked to him in years. That was the mid-late 90s. And I completely wrote him off. And this week I got a message on my Facebook page. Like, hey, your mom told me that you're mad at me for some phone call I made. I don't even remember that. And it's like, well, of course you don't. You're an alcoholic dipshit. So my question, should I just, you know, he lives in Colorado. I live in California now. I'm never going to see him again anyway. For sake of, you know, family harmony, should I just, like, you know what, let bygones be bygones, accept his Facebook friend request and let him, you know, live on my Facebook wall and post his, you know, Islamophobic post, you know, once every 2 weeks and be done with it? Or should I just not leave this toxic energy out of my life and just, you know, family unity be damned?
All right. Well, can I just say that his description of his mom essentially sounds like she's a can of man-witch. Like, she doesn't even sound like a person. She just sounds like a cartoon of like the most masculine lesbian in the whole world. That's just what I will tell you. Your words are powerful because that's what that conjured up in my head. I wouldn't accept this guy's request. Would you?
I would say, well, first of all, I love that he already has the foresight to say, like, to see the Islamophobia posts because that's amazing. Because it's the truth. That's exactly 100%. Where this is going. Like those people fucking love Facebook, and it's amazing. Yeah.
If you're homophobic, you love Facebook.
If you hate anything, that's where you live.
It's very true.
But I would say the only way I would respond and say like, yeah, for you know, whatever, let's just keep it peaceful, is if it's bothering him. You know what I mean? Like if it's in the back of your mind that like you don't like there being like tension somewhere in your life,
right?
Then it's going to clear your mind by saying like, I'm not holding a grudge, because some people have, you know, that weighs on them. You know what I mean? Like it's almost more energy to hold the grudge, or if you think it's going to cause problems, and it's, you know, then I would say do it. But otherwise, I don't believe in the whole like for the sake of family unity thing. If your family's fucking nuts,
I don't believe in that either. Yeah. I mean, you know, honestly, look, like that, the fact that he he's not even taking, I mean, look, even if your mom did say that you were angry with him about a phone call, like, your mom probably told him what phone call it is. So this whole, like, I don't even have a phone. Like, that whole, like, this act he's doing is ridiculous.
Right.
I honestly would be insulted. I'd be pretty insulted.
I would bail on the whole thing.
That someone that made a lot of people would say that might be the inciting incident in this man's life that's sent them all on a journey of just wildness. So I would not, no. I'm big on that. What fuck family? What does that mean?
I was just thinking the other day. Half of them are liars. Because I got a friend request from one of my extended family members. And I was like, you know what? We live in a day and age where, like, I can choose my family.
Totally.
And so I'm not going to accept this friend request. Yeah. But, but it's silly that people take that so personally.
Yeah. You know? Oh, they totally do.
Well, look, you know, like East Coast too, especially, we are about family. It's like, you know, you're Italian, Christina's Puerto Rican, I'm Irish. We are of our clan.
Absolutely.
Like, do you know what I mean? We're about that. And so it is difficult to reconcile. Like, am I not am I a shitty person?
Yeah.
Because you're supposed to love your family. But I you know, I wonder if this is why he's calling, or if this is just I actually, like, talk a lot about this because when I was 10 years old, I decided I didn't want to have a relationship with my father anymore.
Right.
And I maintained that throughout my entire life, like, through his death. And I didn't go to his funeral or anything like that. And I think a lot of people would view that as callous, but, like, that for me was survival. And I think that, you know, it doesn't sound like this guy has that big of an impact on your life, but I do think that even introducing people in your, like, area that might even have some sort of malicious intention or evil eye on you or anything like that is crazy.
Yeah.
So, fuck it.
Yeah, agreed. I have a good relationship with my parents, and I had a really good childhood. But when I first met my girlfriend, became aware that her very similar situation to you, but with her mother.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't get it because I'd never experienced anything like that. Like, I didn't experience the, like, complete, I don't answer texts. They come in, the calls, I ignore all of them. And I won't go into detail of her mom's history, but, like, I totally didn't understand it and said things.
I'm in the same boat with you, yeah.
Yeah, and I said things at one point or another, but, you know, that's your blood or whatever, you know, or, like, you know, there's always room for forgiveness or whatever. And she would say, like, no, you don't understand, until, like, years into our relationship, I saw, like, one or two incidents that were just, like, oh, this person's sick, and there's never been any element of a maternal, you know, position or any, like, she doesn't give a shit about my girlfriend. She doesn't, you know what I mean? Like, and then when you witness that, you're like, you've had strangers in your life who have cared more about you than this person who's your blood. So why the fuck would I ever say that? You know what I mean?
You, like, used a key word too. Sick. Like, I don't know what the deal totally is sick. With your girlfriend's mother, but it sounds like, you know, we know this guy, Uncle Mike, is obviously an alcoholic.
Right.
My father had substance abuse issues. Like,
same thing with this situation.
You know, unfortunately, when you're an addict, it's not your choice. Like, it just runs your fucking life.
Right.
And it's really hard not to take that personally because...
And especially if the person is not taking any steps to... It's not like he left a comment on Facebook that was like, yo, I fucked up, I'm trying to clean my shit up.
Right.
He said, like, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Let's go to the bar. You know, like,
it's that... level of denial is really unhealthy.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, I would say, like, I back anybody's decision to you know, not be slave to the whole it's blood thing.
And you know what? It's sad. That's really sad.
Yeah.
It sounds like he's a terrible... It doesn't sound like he's a great person, but you also have to think no one is born like that.
Right.
No one comes into the world a bad person.
Totally.
Something happens. There's some sort of mental chemistry situation. But That's a person that at one point in his life was not an alcoholic, not using, and it became a problem for him. That's really sad to think about that journey, and that might help you find some, I don't know if you need it, but some compassion, maybe mentally reframe it that way so that you're looking less at what you do as like an action to hurt him and more like an action to just protect yourself the way that you would. I wouldn't want, even though that person wouldn't be living in my apartment, I still wouldn't be happy about having a sex offender in my building.
Right.
It's kind of how I feel.
Yeah.
It might be analogous, but whatever.
No, I know what you mean.
All right. That was episode 59 of Please Advise. Wow. That was it. We're out of the 50s. This is it. Ryan, thank you so much for coming.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
323-450-7408. That's the number you can call to send us your updates and also leave messages. We need them. AskPleaseAdvise@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. We're on SoundCloud.com/PleaseAdvise and Instagram, or what's it called? iTunes? That's what it's called?
Yeah. We are on Instagram and on iTunes.
Yeah, we're on all of them. Subscribe, leave 5 stars, write a review. It helps us. It helps the show, and we would appreciate that support. I think that's it. Christina, do you have any final words?
No.
You're good?
I'm good.
We've been here all day. I'm good to go.
Yeah.
Let's do this. Let's fuck shit up.
Bye. Yep. Yeah.